Welcome back. I hope you had a good weekend. This is Henrik. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We're glad to have you back with us once again. This is Red Eyes Radio, an independent radio program and news website, opinions, videos, and much more. We are concerned about the corruption and the utter destruction of the West, and there is no liberal, democratic, egalitarian straitjacket on the minds of the people that run this program. We know what lies they are and how they have been used to disarm us both morally but also intellectually and have us go against our own nature. And now because of it, we are paying the price. So we fight uncompromisingly for the rights of our people that the hypocritical left and the conservative so-called right extends to all other groups, races, and identities but denies to ours. They do this as they refuse to recognize that it's our people that have brought these ideas to the rest of the world, that now would want nothing more than to flood into our lands and enjoy the fruits of the hard work of our ancestors, that fought and built the societies and the countries they did for their descendants. And now these so-called adults in our lands, these descendants that have been subjected to cult-like brainwashing by the elite cultural Marxists who run the media, are in their decadence and lack of historical appreciation, advocating for the abolition of their own people, willingly or not, all for the sake of fulfilling some imposed morality and external sense of virtue that really is about signaling their goodness to others to score points in the most vain and narcissistic way. Nothing of this when you study the psyops and hijacking of biology, sociology, and anthropology have sprung naturally from their own desires. What we have witnessed in Europe in the last few weeks is really like nothing else, and it's unbelievably destructive. Politicians openly are talking about the permanent transformation of our European countries. This can't go on, and this has to stop, especially when you know what the elite politicians and the establishment behind this are saying and what their true intentions really are. We know it's genocidal. We know that they are turning their backs on their own people. White majority countries must accommodate millions of foreigners, whether as immigrants, illegal immigrants, or genuine refugees, as other non-white countries can pursue objectively and highly ethnocentric immigration policies with absolute impunity. And in these days, any problem found outside of Europe is, of course, perceived as both Europe's problem and Europe's responsibility to fix. And I hear no social justice warriors or hardly any alternative truth seekers taking the full step in denouncing the elite's agenda here that are basically and fundamentally an endorsement by the Marxist left. And they hardly speak out on this issue at all. They are adopting the mainstream narrative, and they're more than happy to smack labels such as white supremacist, racist, or neo-Nazi on any true opposition to the elites and their goals of white displacement. I mean, it's brilliant. Who knew that would be so easy to stop even the most radical truth seekers and alternative anti-establishment activists? Opposing the agenda that's pushed by the elite equals bigotry. And so this is how they get their will through. This is how they do it. This is how you get everyone, I mean everyone across the board, salivating at the sound of the proverbial politically correct little bell that they're ringing. The solution to this is to just simply speak the truth. Be honest and say what you feel and say what you think. I mean, in these times of openness and tolerance, I mean, that's the contradiction here. It's actually leading to the opposite. Self-censorship and tight opinion corridors, as we say in Sweden. And we have to break out of this. Otherwise, it's over. You see, for the majority of white people, they can never simply just take their own side. And this is how brainwashing works. This is how this cult works that they have become initiated into without even realizing it. They just repeat whatever they've been told to repeat, and they offer no real valid criticism to the talking points that are coming from the alt-right or the new right. The true source of the rebellion of our times, the true source of the opposition to the obvious genocidal anti-white maniacs that we have running our own countries right now. And that's what we're going to talk about here today with Kevin MacDonald, Tim Murdoch, and John Friend. They all have a unique but also related view on what is happening in Europe, but also the rest of the West, America, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and many other countries founded by Europeans and they have studied the behavior and the ideology of the elites who are behind it. Well, Kevin MacDonald is the editor of the Occidental Observer and author of The Culture of Critique. Tim Murdoch is behind WhiteRabbitRadio.net, and John Friend is from The Realist Report. Stay tuned for an extended segment on the invasion of Europe. Welcome, gentlemen. We've had all of you on the program before, Kevin MacDonald, Tim Murdoch, and John Friend. Great of you, all of you, to join us. Thank you so much. I'm going to skip the formal introductions and welcomes here and all that, so we just can kind of go straight into this extremely urgent and pressing topic about the flooding, the invasion, really, into Europe that has been turned up now to an enormous level in the last few weeks. I've never seen anything like this. The footage that is coming out, not the footage that's played in the mainstream, of course. The big media is contrived, and it's controlled spin to lie as much as possible about the kinds of people that are coming in. We don't really know where they're from, and the fact that these are all, as it looks like, young men of good fighting age, as it were. But it's just so absurd, and there are a ton of components to this that we need to talk about in regards to what is happening. And what is going to happen in the future in Europe? Where will this lead? The fact that even ISIS openly have said that they want to try to flood Europe with up to 500,000 people. We've seen weapons being shipped into Greece, one of the islands, into these aid containers. So the question is, of course, what is going to happen when some of these people are starting to take over an area, as they already have in certain cities, and weapons are being shipped in, and the naive, stupid traitors that we have in government will continue to deny that this is a problem, even when there is a full-on war in the streets of Europe. So I just wanted to get some of the initial thoughts, gentlemen, before we go into deeper some of the specifics of what's going on and what is driving this. So let's just make kind of a round here, if you will. Kevin, let's start with you. What's your initial thoughts when you've seen what is happening right now in Europe?
Well, it's horrifying. It really is sad, extremely sad to see this. Again, we see a full-blown media campaign to distort who the immigrants are. We see politicians who are making pronouncements about moral responsibilities and so on. Angela Merkel is probably the worst here. But even, you know, it's heartening that Germany is having to put up borders. And it's very encouraging that Eastern Europeans are not going along with this. Viktor Orban in Hungary is not going along with it. And I do think that the sudden increase is going to make people aware. It's that slow trickle that sort of gets under the radar. When you have a sudden increase like this, people, even though the media is spinning it, this has to put terror in the heart of a great many Europeans. It's just going to be very, very hard to shut your eyes to what's going on here, to keep believing that this is all going to work out for the best.
Yeah, Tim, let's switch over to you. What's your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts has always boiled down to one simple phrase, white genocide. I mean, here you have a classic example of the Western elites and all these crazy traitors and the neo-Cohens all rooting for this stuff. They're flooding Europe with non-Europeans. And, you know, it's just the typical type of thing they pull. And the average European, of course, hasn't voted for it. They're not going to vote for it. If allowed a chance to vote, they're going to throw them out. And it's never going to come to a vote, you know. And it just becomes a question of where they're going with all this. And why are they moving so fast? There's only two reasons you throw a frog in boiling water. One, you expect the frog to jump out. Or you're in such a big hurry you don't have a choice. And you're trying to boil frogs, you know. The amount of awareness every time they do these events, the last event was, of course, all these kids coming from South America. And the level of awareness, the type of feedback someone like me gets, and I've been on the front lines dealing with these particular memes, these white genocide memes since, well, the website went up in 2010. So every time they do an event like this, the awareness goes up several times, the type of feedback someone like me gets. This is 10 times that. You know, someone's, for instance, someone sitting in a pool out west, and he announces to the pool that, yeah, he's going to start fighting white genocide. And everyone's like, yeah, they've heard of white genocide. that's what's coming. That's what it's boiling down to. This type of thing is crazy. It's crazy to do. You know, this particular enemy does not have a real history of moving quickly unless they're going to war or something.
That's right. Exactly. John, what's your initial thoughts on the on what we've seen in the on the invasion into Europe?
You know, I agree with what Dr. McDonald and Horace just said. And, you know, I've been following the situation as well. I posted some interesting videos, some very horrifying, frankly, videos of the situation in Europe over on my website, and I shared them on my Twitter feed, and it kind of just shows what type of people are actually coming into Europe. And, you know, they're all young men, you know, military-aged men, and they're being very disrespectful to the authorities. They're blocking trains and just causing all sorts of chaos and havoc. And it's just simply outrageous what's going on. And as I'm sure everyone here is aware, on my website, I pretty much follow strictly the Jewish press and just try to get an understanding of what they're promoting, what they're saying. And, you know, they've been writing a lot about this refugee crisis in Europe and also in America. And one thing I think that needs to be understood is that this invasion of the West, this invasion of Europe and the United States has been really going on for a very, very long time. I mean, it's really being hyped up and played up in the media now because it is sort of a crisis situation. But we've been being flooded with non-white, very hostile aliens for decades now. And that's something that, you know, really needs to be emphasized and pointed out. But one thing that I found just absolutely outrageous, but of course it's very typical of how the organized Jewish community operates on an international level. I came across an article in the Times of Israel, and I'll just read you guys the headline. It kind of says it all. It says here, with world watching refugees, Jewish coalition sees chance to boost aid. And then it says, long hampered by lack of funds, international Jewish relief organizations hope to draw empathy and donations for new programs in Europe. And this article goes through and describes this international network of Jewish charities and, you know, Jewish ethnic organizations that are, you know, specifically advancing Jewish interests and how they're playing a central role in, you know, facilitating, supporting, and advocating the resettlement of millions of non-white people in Europe and America. And this is something that's been going on for decades now. And over on Dr. McDonald's website, there's a really good article up right now entitled On Jews, History, and Refugees, which gets into some of these facts. And again, it's just outrageous. It's again, very typical what we're seeing from the organized Jewish community and their, you know, central role in promoting this invasion is critical. It needs to be pointed out. And again, you know, we see articles on a daily basis almost coming from Israel, coming from websites like the Times of Israel, the Jewish Daily Forward, the Jewish Telegraph Agency, Haaretz, a mainstream Israeli newspaper, talking about how Israel, the leaders of Israel, are doing everything in their power to identify, arrest, deport illegal aliens from Israel, you know, illegal yep. non-Jewish aliens from Israel. And they're not just illegal. I mean, you have to be a Jew to actually gain citizenship in Israel, from what I understand. You know, you're sort of treated as a second-class citizen if you're not Jewish. And, you know, the hypocrisy on display here is just outrageous. It's infuriating. It's so obvious anymore. It cannot be ignored. And people need to be confronted with this information in a major way, because what we're seeing is absolutely, you know, I don't even have words for it. I mean, it's just simply outrageous. We're talking about the total destruction of Europe and America right before our very eyes, and the Jews are playing the central role in all of this.
Well, if we listen to Barbara Spector, Gregory Gysi out of Germany recently, and many, many others, we understand that this is something that benefits their agenda massively. Let's talk some more about that later, too, in terms of, you know, what's driving this and whatnot, but let me just switch over and talk about, you know, these are allegedly, you know, Syrian refugees. I mean, I don't even know if entire media are pushing this narrative only because we can clearly see that there's Africans coming in. There's, you know, people from many other countries beyond Syria. So that's kind of falling apart as well. But what I've been surprised by is the footage that we've seen, as I said, coming out of mainly from YouTube and more, you know, independent people just filming what's happening on the street level, how ungrateful the people are that are coming in. They're complaining on the tents that they're sleeping in. They're throwing away bottles of water. They're throwing away food. It's an extremely hostile environment. I'm not saying that I would be fine with if this was all the Syrians flooding in because they were fleeing from war, that's okay in itself. But the very aspect that there's a lack of, you know, being grateful for the fact that Europe is taking this in, that's what's so extraordinary here, that there's an hostility from day one. Gentlemen, any comments on this?
Well, I mean, it's typical. It's typical. The last particular interview we did was Why Diversity is a Lie. And it's just, it gets more and more over the top every day in the quotes. And people are starting to respond to it. I mean, to go back to what John said, and social media, everyone is pointing out this hypocrisy between Israel, between the Jewish elite keeping the Jewish homeland free of refugees and free of illegal immigrants and so on and so forth, and the direct opposite of what they're supporting for us, for America, for Europe. The level of awareness into this type of thing is just, all it's doing is feeding on itself.
I'd also like to comment on that the idea that these immigrants are hostile to the traditional people and cultures of the West. And that's really been true, especially with the Muslims in Europe for a long time. It's actually encouraged, I think, now by the media and the political elites, because, you know, in general, you know, Western culture has been, you know, portrayed as evil. You know, all we hear about is slavery and colonialism and all that sort of thing. And the idea that that these immigrants should, you know, look up to Western culture, be grateful or anything like that is completely beyond the pale. These people are not going to be that way. They're going to be a hostile, discontented, very unassimilated group, and eventually going to be a majority unless this stops. And so it's an absolute disaster.
Yeah, I think what they might want is in fact the clash of civilizations. You know, if you have a thesis, you have this giant war against terror, which is all the neo-Cohens. And then you have its antithesis. You flood the West. You give the West your exact problem you face in the Middle East, a hostile Muslim mass all over Western civilization. We're getting the same thing. And then, of course, what's the synthesis? Well, mm-hmm. Synthesis is this clash of civilizations, World War III, which I think the neocons are in fact pushing. I think that's their agenda here. I just don't know what exactly is going to crystallize the escalation or exactly how it's going to end up, but I think it's very much intentional.
Yes, no doubt. And there's a couple videos. One is entitled Migrant Crisis, the Footage the Media Refuses to Broadcast. And that was put out by, I believe it was Joe Paul, Paul Joseph Watson.
Yeah,
there we go. and he's, you know, he's with Alex Jones in InfoWars and Prison Planet. And it's a really good video. It's on YouTube. I published it on my website, and I've also shared it on Twitter and, you know, other social media. And then there's another really good video entitled End Times, Europe Crumbles Under the Devastating Impact of Mass Immigration. And it's, you know, a really good video. People need to share this with their friends and family because it really gives a, you know, an accurate depiction of what's going on and what type of people are coming into Europe and America. And, you know, this is something that I've written about and talked about, you know, on my website and for American Free Press. And it's this, you know, this ridiculous idea that we've been promoting, you know, the organized Jewish community, the neocons, the Israel firsters, you know, all the conservatives that support the Jews in Israel, and, you know, put their interests ahead of white people's interests. You know, they've been promoting this idea of a global war on terrorism. And, of course, 9/11 sort of kicked off the global war on terrorism. And I've done a lot of research into 9/11, and there is absolutely no doubt that 9/11 was done by Israel and an international network of Jewish criminals to kickstart the global war on terrorism, which Jewish intellectuals and Jewish military strategists and neocons had, you know, sort of concocted and devised going back to the late 1970s. I mean, these people literally created this paradigm of a global war on terrorism in which the West needed to unite and wage war on all of Israel's enemies in the Middle East. And that's exactly what's happened since 9/11 and, you know, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, what's going on in Syria, what's, you know, the warmongering and the fearmongering relating to Iran. You know, that's exactly what we've seen ever since 9/11. So, you know, the mass media is telling Americans and Europeans that, you know, there's this, you know, this threat of radical Muslim terrorists. You know, they might attack the West, and they're these barbarians. You know, they chop off people's heads, etc. And at the same time, they're telling us that we need to welcome these very people into our countries and treat them, you know, as if they, you know, they deserve all these benefits. They, you know, we need to give them food, we need to give them water, we need to give them housing. They're literally displacing us in our own lands while we're supposed to be fighting them over in their lands at the same time. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, exactly. I mean, the frustration for me is quite a bit. I mean, it's all well and good with people who are aware, they're politically, you know, engaged, they can see some of this, but I wonder what it must be like for the average people out there who are basically still, you know, getting the version, they're you know, being played on their heartstrings, basically. They're getting the official version in the media. And then at the same time, hopefully some of them can see what actually is happening on the street level. But you referred to a couple of clips there, John. I'm just going to play a couple, and I know that this is audio only. I encourage people listening as well to check out the videos. I'll add links to them so you can actually see the footage. But let me just play, you know, let me just play a few of these here. It's like recently in Germany, your average tram experience here. Let's listen to this. And then we have in Hungary. This is a complete mess. You can see, like, just everyone just running around. They're screaming, fuck you, to the police. And then the disconnection I'm talking about, if we switch over to, like, just look at what's Holland's response to this? What's Holland doing? They're greeting them with song. Welcome to my country, they say. And then we switch over to Paris. It's like a full-on war in the streets. Like these completely out-of-control riots. I could go on and on with these clips, but I want to show you something out of Denmark here, too, in a second.
Young refugees.
We need you.
You enrich our society.
Not only socially and economically,
but culturally as well.
We know you didn't think to something,
but from something. We are definitely ready
to bid you all a heartfelt welcome.
Let's make Denmark your home.
Anyway, I could go on and play this, like, video after video after video of all these things that are happening. But the disconnection, that's what I'm trying to get to. Like, what will it take for a mass of Europeans to wake up? I know there's resistance in Poland. There's been people out demonstrating. I know there's been some response in Germany as well. But I can imagine that this will develop into a situation where basically the people of the European people that are trying to amass some kind of resistance to this, those are the people that our governments will go after. Those are the people that will be targeted. They will be, you know, maybe thrown in prison for trying to protect their lands or something like that, and doing something like that to try to prevent this from going any further. And the question is where this will go. I mean, is this a warfare tactic that you guys are talking about? Tim, let's begin with you first. Your thoughts?
Well, there's no doubt about it. And it's already facing resistance in the matter of stickers and even some amount of violence. Let me give you an exact example that I tweeted out. It's on my timeline from the last 24 to 48 hours. In Germany, they're finding stickers, and the stickers are anti-Islamic stickers with the back, when you go to peel them off, the back's lined with razor blades.
Yeah, so that
any of the anti-whites or the, you know, the typical social justice warriors that run around peeling off stickers and whatnot, they're going to get cut. This is the type of thing we're already starting to see, and I'm not certain that, again, they want this clash of civilizations. They're not only going to destroy Europe, they're in the midst of really destroying, like John Friend was alluding to, destroying outright the current political, geopolitical structure of the Middle East. They're annihilating Yemen, Syria, Turkey is now, Lebanon. This is very broad and very aggressive move. Of course, what we're more concerned with what they're planning on doing in Europe, but I expect to see more violence.
Exactly.
And I think that's what they want.
Well, we can talk about that in terms of tactics of how to what the proper response to this would be. But Kim, let me just ask you, the kind of pathological altruism here, the lethal weakness that we're seeing with Holland is like welcoming them with songs and balloons, and they think this is great. They're doing the right thing in Denmark. They're advocating them to come to Denmark to enrich them. And then the reality on the streets of what's happening is utterly different. What do you think it will take for these people to wake up and realize what is happening here?
Yeah, we have to understand that, you know, it's not just our hostile elites that are doing this. There's a tendency in Europeans to be empathic, to be exploitable, and they can be manipulated. And you see those that choir singing in Holland is very striking. I had it as a video on Occidental Observer for a while. You know, it does exist, and I do think that we have to we still see these very large demonstrations. It seems to me that still in general in the Western Europe that the streets are far more under the control of the left than of the right. You know, that you had these antifas. I remember when speaking in Sweden, people who organized these events were just terrified of the antifa. And that's still going on, I think. And so it seems to me that this media onslaught, too. I mean, I had a little piece from someone in Gothenburg, Sweden, talking about, you know, the mass media, you know, advocating people taking in homeless. Well, they got just hundreds, thousands of calls that they want, you know, these people are willing to take in refugees, you know.
Yep.
The same in Iceland. It's very sad. They're taking advantage of the good hearts of European people. And it's very difficult to get beyond that when we don't control the media. But, you know, I do think that there's a little bit of, you know, things, people are more aware now. You see these nationalist parties making steady gains. The Sweden Democrats are the biggest party now in Sweden. I mean, there are a lot of good signs, but, you know, it's happening so fast, and they're changing the facts on the ground so quickly that your head spins. And I think that's the problem. They're changing the facts on the ground. They're bringing in new people who will not vote for European interests, for the interests of white Europeans. They're bringing in people who will fundamentally change Europe and I think the word genocide is absolutely appropriate in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the behavior is what I'm looking at as well, that there is obviously a rise in violence, crime, rape rates is going up. This is just a reality.
Absolutely.
And the incoming are, strangely, they're almost like lashing out faster than they even can get settled in. So it doesn't seem to be like a very super organized, let's say, ISIS plot or something like that, where they're saying, okay, let's take in, I don't know, a couple of hundred thousand, you know, enemy combatants behind enemy lines, and then we'll wait and we'll all strike together. This seems to be largely almost on an individual level, that the people that are coming in they resent the Europeans, and they're not thankful at all. Any comments on that, Kevin?
Well, I agree. As I say, I think that the culture of the left that is dominating Europe now actually encourages hostility. They don't have any problems. We've had riots, you know, burning cars in Paris. We've had riots in Sweden. We've had, you know, huge amount of rape in Sweden. Sweden's one of the rape capitals of the world now. And yet that's not enough, you know. And so to really get public opinion against these people, against immigration, and I think a lot of it is the media. If the media is seen as you know, as okay and you know, on your side, it's very different. And if we had a media that was just mainstreaming the idea that this is an invasion, that this is absolutely outrageous, that we have legitimate interests, things would change pretty quickly. I think these people are just so susceptible to this propaganda, this empathy. Showing this child who died on a Turkish beach, it seems to have had a huge effect. It's just amazing. It's so sad because, you know, that child died because her father was irresponsible.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's the whole story there. And yet, you know, somehow it's Europe's fault.
Yeah, they should build an escalator straight from North Africa and Middle East into the heart of the Rhineland. Otherwise, you're responsible.
there should be no limits, no borders. And if you deny that, you're a Nazi. It's just amazing. It's just
now,
unfathomable.
Exactly. John, if you wanted to comment on that, please go ahead. But I also wanted to ask you as a follow-up to that, what do you think would be the correct response?
You know, obviously the correct response is to use the military and police and law enforcement agencies to identify and arrest and expel all of these people. And we can do that. We have the ability to do that. Our militaries are highly trained. We have, great guys, great men and women involved in our military and law enforcement agencies, not just in America, but I'd imagine all over the Western world. And we could easily do this if we had the political will and the right, correct people in charge telling our military to do this. And it's just absolutely outrageous. And one thing that really is underscored by, what Dr. McDonald and what you were just saying is the fact that the mass media, the mainstream mass media all over the Western world has been weaponized and used as, used as a weapon against white people specifically. And as we know, and as Jews openly admit and brag about, the organized Jewish community does in fact control the mass media. And again, they are using it as a weapon against us. And this is demonstrated on, all sorts of – there's so many examples of this, but with this, this Turkish kid washing up on shore, that's just a prime example of it. And I've even seen stories, mainstream stories in Europe and America basically saying that the real problem, the real people that need to be, dealt with are the racist Germans and the racist white people that want to, expel these invaders and, don't support these immigrants flooding and invading their countries. That, to me, is just – so outrageous. It's ridiculous. And, we've seen attacks on Donald Trump. Dr. McDonald just put an article up on the Occidental Observer, and I also wrote a brief article on it on my website as well. There's just a story in the Jewish Daily Forward talking about how all the main, bigwig Jewish Republicans do not support Donald Trump because he, is not falling in line with their, amnesty, pro-multiculturalism, pro-illegal invasion agenda in America. And, I think at least in the United States, we have Donald Trump who is, sort of signaling that, he does actually support white people. I mean, he's not outright saying that. Maybe at some point he will. I doubt it. But that would be ideal. We need somebody out there that's, openly pro-white, because what we're saying is absolutely true and there's nothing wrong about it and somebody's got to say it. And right now we really don't have anybody doing that. But this idea of pathological altruism, I think is very real, and I think the source of it, the reason why we have pathological altruism, is a direct result of Jewish control and influence over our society. I mean, these people tell us how to think. There's been a very effective war, waged on European people, on our identity, and this really has been in effect since World War II. Where, if any white person, says that they're white and openly identifies as white, they're immediately called a Nazi, they're called a racist, they're called these ridiculous buzzwords that are so childish, and they're losing their effect, thank goodness. But this is really the situation we've been facing ever since World War II, and I think this, this pathological altruism we see on display all over the Western world is a direct result of Jewish influence and Jewish power in America and the wider Western world.
What will turn that around? I mean, I think the lefties will go to the grave thinking they're doing the right thing. I mean, we've seen people being, beat up in some of these, pro-rallies and whatnot, people who are just can't connect. But what would push people over that edge to finally come to a conclusion that, okay, this is an invasion, we need to defend ourselves, our entire society is just absolutely falling apart, and everything we've worked for, our commons, our high-trust societies are just shattering before our eyes. Tim, what do you think will turn people around?
Simple awareness that these universals that they're living under, like diversity and multiculturalism, are not universals. They only apply to us, and it's a genocidal scam that they're in. Once Europeans realize universals aren't a universal, then they start getting angry. And I always talk about the psychology of the con, and every human goes through this. First is denial of the con. Then it's awareness of the con, and you start chuckling. Yeah, I can't believe I fell for that. Ha, 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 ha. And the best thing to do is to get them laughing. And the third and final stage is anger at the con artist. If you look at the massive events, which I know that, like Dr. Kevin McDonald has and John Friend has, of, let's say, anti-Semitic backlashes against the Jewish elites historically, I would just say that it's just recognition of a con being played. And there's a massive con being played on Europeans. There's always a handful. They're playing on emotions. If you take somewhere like Iceland, and there was what Dr. Kevin McDonald was talking about is that I think it was 10 or 15,000 of all the Icelanders, which is a few hundred thousand, would take in refugees, supposedly, online, on Facebook. Now, they haven't yet, but that's just a Facebook poll. That is a slice of that society that they're using to pull the heartstrings. And this, every European society has them, and they pull the heartstrings pretty good with dead babies on the beach and so on and so forth. But the challenge for them right now is they've lost control of the counter-narrative online. They don't have, the narrative online is gone. We own that. You know, it's just a matter of how much longer it takes for a message to start radiating online as opposed to through the mainstream media like Fox News. Fox News, you can generate a meme and gun it down through society a lot faster than we can on the internet. But there's a rising tide of awareness coming on, and the more aggressive they get, the larger it becomes. Now, where it crests, I don't know. I have a feeling our enemy has a very good idea.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is that there's a disconnection in the message as well. For one, I remember the story a couple of days ago. There are plenty of Ukrainian refugees, for example. Many young children has died in some of the most horrible ways, but they don't seem to be that interesting because they are white. And the agenda here is, of course, is to bring as many third world people, Middle Eastern people, Muslims, etc., into Europe as possible. Because if we listen to the elite, what they actually say, from Sarkozy to Peter Sutherland to Kalergi to all the NATO chief and all these people that are, Tim, we've spoken about this in the past too, that there's many, many people that are outspoken, and the message that they come across is quite different. They say, well, it's a demographic question, it's an economic question. We have to use these people as a resource, etc. Even some of the EU presidents are saying this now. So, Kevin, let me switch over to you. That's a disconnection in the message? First, we get the story that we need to help these people; they're fleeing from horrible conditions. And the next day, we get a message that no, actually, in fact, you need these people because your demographics is going down, and we also want to fight nationalism and racism. So that's why we're doing this. It's a contradiction, right?
Right. I've seen both ends of that argument. I think the Wall Street Journal or Washington Post had one where they were saying that in the case of Germany they were very lucky to get all these refugees wanting to come there because they're an aging population and they need all these people. It's just very sad. I do think that we still have a long way to go with the media. Obviously, we're all on the alternative media. I do think things are moving in our direction, but the question is, how slowly, how quickly can we trust someone like Trump? I think Trump really is a possibility, but you never know if he can get in, or if he does, will he really come through? So the Sweden Democrats, what will be the first party in Europe to really get some serious traction, some real power? I know in Denmark the Danish People's Party, I believe they are in the government and they're slowing it down. I think they're trying to send them all to Sweden. And I thought it was outrageous that the Swedish Prime Minister was upset with that.
Well, there's been feuds back and forth, and the Danish are, I mean, they make jokes about Sweden all the time. They say, you guys are insane and you're crazy. And I mean, we have the bridges built now, so it's easy for them to come over. And that's what they're doing already. If they don't feel welcome in Denmark, they just go right over the bridge and they're in Sweden,
Right, and so the Swedish, I think it's deputy prime minister or something, is saying how bad it is that Denmark's doing this. Yet they have said that every Syrian can come to Sweden. That's 25 million people, and everybody else are going to be a humanitarian superpower.
But they don't know who's Syrian though. That's the other thing to this. These people don't have paperwork. We don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And if you look at the footage, it's like you've seen. There's very dark Africans. There are more Asiatic looking people. There are then Middle Eastern. So this is just kind of all over the place. And it feels to me that everyone is taking an opportunity to get into Europe because it's an opportunity to get some.
There's probably about 7 billion people who would profit by living in Europe in terms of standard of living. There's no end to this. Africa has 4 billion people or something like that.
One could only imagine
1 billion people. they're all relatively poor, except for a few of the 1% elites over there. Of course they'd want to go to Europe.
Yeah, one could only imagine if all the South African Boer farmers, through funds, through some type of giant charity fundraiser, all got on a plane and headed to Europe. What would they do to them? I bet they'd send them back to kill them.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly. They certainly would.
Yeah.
It just becomes absolutely absurd that you have these people sitting there. They're on genocide watch. They're actually on genocide watch. No one's even talking about it. You've got all the – I mean, you want to talk about refugee crisis. Look at the white Boer farmer – the whites in South Africa, especially the middle class, the poor, which can't get jobs because of affirmative action and all this South African stuff, this anti-white South African legislation. You know, but they're ignoring that potential. If you're worried about bringing people back in your society, you look at your diaspora, which is typically what humans do. You know, even in Africa, they make appeals for various different places in Africa. They make appeals for Africans in America to come home. I know everyone listening has heard that from time to time. You appeal to your diaspora. So the European diaspora is in America. It's, you know, it's around the world, but they have, you know, all these Boer South African farmers that would probably work out quite well in Northern Europe, in my opinion. But of course they don't exist when it comes to refugee status or getting them back home or, you know.
And of course the whole idea that there could possibly be white refugees from a black country goes completely against the leftist narrative. that's just on the other side of the moon. They reject any idea that they're being persecuted, even though there's excellent evidence that there is. And there is one genocide site that is talking about Africa, as in like the fourth or fifth stage of the UN genocide.
I think it's number six now. They're moving up.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're moving up.
I've come to the conclusion that because the arguments we get are always that there's no such thing as white genocide, and literally they do is you're all going to be dead soon, you know. So they know instinctively that something is happening. But even in South Africa, where they're on genocide watch, they're actually on genocide watch. They will never admit that that's genocide against whites, even if it's a Rwanda type situation where it becomes obvious. They will never admit that.
That's right, they'll never admit that, and it won't be spun that way in the media in America or Europe.
Well, that's why the governments that we have in place now are just, they are not going to do anything against this. If things escalate, and I think they will, I mean, I think at some stage there's going to be regions taken over. Let's say it's a port city. Who knows how much weapons are being shipped in? Sweden has seen a rise of AK-47s and hand grenades, for Christ's sake, in Malmö, you know, the third largest city, largely majority Muslim here soon. And that's a complete change of character. But I suspect we're going to see more of those kinds of things. And if people on the street level would begin to mobilize against this in some fashion and say, basically, okay, the police are not doing anything, the military are not doing anything, the government is as corrupt, they're traitors. Those are the people that our government would go after. Like
NATO would.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're there.
If it's just one country that does it, let's say that Hungary would turn around tomorrow and say, you know what, that's it. We're closing up the borders. We're kicking everybody out. They would basically turn on them like what happened with Germany. Basically, it needs to be a massive movement across all of Europe for this to turn around.
Yeah. So there's an awful lot of pressure right now on Poland and Hungary and the rest of Eastern Europe to take in all these people. And you can bet that there is going to be a campaign, and then because it's about all of Europe going under this way, and this is really what the EU is all about. This guy Juncker, who's the head of the EU, is just absolutely abominable.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He just can't get enough of the non-white people in Europe.
He's well in with the Jewish elite in Europe too, by the way.
Of course. I mean, I don't see how you could possibly have a position like that without being part of it.
Exactly.
The Jewish elite. It's not possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, one thing that's always left out of this conversation as well is that the problems in the Middle East, these, you know, corrupt governments, you know, these wars, you know, all these atrocities that are being committed. Yeah, there are very real problems, and America has played a central role in destabilizing these countries. But one thing that's never said is, look, these refugees, they need to stay there and sort their own problems out in their own countries. You know, that's what white people have done all throughout our history. I mean, America fought a revolutionary war to establish this country. And, you know, we have struggled to build our countries. These people need to be in their own countries doing the same thing. And that is never said.
And of course, as I'm sure everyone here is well aware of, the fact is that the American role in the Middle East would not have happened except for these Jewish neocons, the organized Jewish community, AIPAC, and so on. That this is a result of Israeli foreign policy wanting to destabilize these countries, essentially carve them up into smaller countries. The more instability, the better. That's been the policy.
This is openly admitted that this is Israeli and, you know, Zionist policy in the Middle East. You know, there's all sorts of academic think tanks, you know, type papers that have been written advocating this, you know, going well back into the 1990s, you know, certainly after 9/11. I mean, this is openly admitted that this is what their, you know, goals are, what their policy is, to, you know, destroy all these countries, to overthrow all these governments, and to, you know, sort of pave the way for Israeli, you know, domination of the Middle East using Western financial and military and human capital. So they're using us to advance their own interests in the Middle East. And that's very clear, and that's admitted by these people. I mean, that has to be recognized and understood.
Exactly, and I think the agenda is twofold here. The idea that you want to have, they want to have a greater Israel, they want to try to expand, they want to try to get as many enemy combatants. I know that, of course, we can and we should question the origin of ISIS, how they arose, who's funding them, and all these things. But for the sake of it, let's just kind of say that it is the organization there, it's in place, and a lot of young men are attracted to it because, you know, for many different reasons, they like it, they think it's you know, a good cause or whatever, it might be a religious thing, but they're there as a factor. That's not a question about that. It's not like it's fake or anything like that. It's happening. They're coming into Europe and whatnot. But the other side to that agenda, beyond expanding Israel's border and trying to get rid of a lot of people around in the area that they don't want to have there, it's about dragging Europe into a kind of a civil war, really, as well. And the question is what the response to that should be and could be reasonably, because we can't just stand there and say, well, this is all engineered and manufactured, so we can't do anything, but we can't set up any opposition. Then at the same time, if we do set up opposition and really try to push these people out or what have you, we don't know how America or even Russia or China or any of these other larger countries will react, and if there will be a turn on Europe consequently. There will be like a larger version of what we saw during the Second World War. So I'm back to that question again of, what is a proper response in a situation like that? We have to fight, but when we do that, are we walking into the trap that these neo-Cohens, as you call them, Tim, are setting us up for? What's your thoughts on that, Tim?
I think, to be honest with you, the speed at which they're moving, I'm looking for two specific scenarios, but the speed at which they're moving tells me that they don't have time to play the long-term Serbia game. You know, I think that's what they were trying to set up in America, in Europe, is a Serbia type, seriously, a Serbia type of thing where the Serbs try to defend themselves and NATO walks in and bombs the living daylights out of them. And, you know, this is a Muslim territory now, you know?
Yes.
I think that's really what they were going for. But now it's so big and so fast. I think they're going for something else entirely, something much bigger. But what is the response? Well, the response is always to control the message. The only thing we can do is attempt to control the message online, and I think we're starting to dominate. With that being said, you know, the little clues would tell me that, you know, we did a podcast with Red Ice, with Lana Lochteff and Radio 314 called about the managerial class, and that when the elite loses the class that manages and makes the society work, by managerial class, I'm not talking white collar, blue collar, but they manage to get things done. Only a certain percentage of society is necessary to make the place function. And if they give up on you at the local grocery store, we know from the collapse of the Soviet Union, you're in trouble. And all the signs would tell me that they're really worried about this class of people. And that might be why they're running the right wingers. Certain neocons are giving overtures to, and not enough for me to sit tight on it, but like the Donald Trumps and stuff like that. They have lost the critical class of people, or starting to lose, to make society work, and I think we're going to see more and more overtures to people like Dr. David Duke. That's what all that stuff is about on InfoWars. If you go back and listen to what I've talked about there, these are right out of models from the Soviet Union that are workable. They're starting to lose the key components of society that are getting their information online because they don't control the narrative online. So I believe they're in a big hurry here. The question is, how big are they going to go? The timeline is really simple for me, the last term of Obama right now. They're going for something much larger. Can they get it together?
That's interesting. I do think that things are speeding up, and It could be that there's some kind of a plot. I think throughout the West, we have these. There's a huge gap between most people and the people who actually run these governments and the media and so on. I mean, if you look at America, the surveys for of opposition to immigration show most Americans want immigration cut way down, and they would be happy to have these illegals expelled and all that. And had to have a moratorium. In other words, Donald Trump's views are entirely mainstream.
Absolutely.
And they actually reflect the views of most Americans. But there's a complete disengagement with the elites, Republican Party elites. They want free trade. They want immigration. They want low wages. Democratic Party wants more multiculturalism, more voters that are going to vote for big government and handouts and all that. But the same thing in Europe. I mean, I don't think that these attitudes are not if they exist, if they really are majority attitudes, like in Sweden, I think they're soft. I think that at some point people are waking up and they're aware that there's something really wrong here. And I do think that things are moving in our direction. The question is, can we be? I think you're right that they're moving very, very fast. But that means we have to move fast too. We have to do something, or we're just swamped here. And the farther it goes, the more cataclysmic it is going to be to change it.
Well, the societal structure, I mean, if it continues as it does now, is going to collapse the economy. I mean, I saw footage out of Germany where basically, I mean, on the streets of Frankfurt, there are like a civil war going on between the Kurdish people and the Turks. And the military is and this is not new. It was from last year. RT had the footage of like people running around with machetes, these ISIS supporters, like trying to cut up Kurdish people. And it's like, this is what we're going to spend our time, resources, and efforts on now, or try to preserve and keep the peace in this multicultural, wonderful land that we've created for ourselves, you know?
Yeah, and then they sort of comfort themselves with the fiction that, well, in the long run, things will just work out. They'll be just like us. And it's just simply false. I mean, so this utopian idea that the Westerners seem to be very susceptible to, that these utopian visions of a harmonious future, we're just all going to love one another. This has never happened. And you think about the Jewish experience, there's always been conflict in societies they've been in. Now we've got more and more conflict. It's a well-known fact that multiculturalism leads to conflict. It's just absolutely rock-solid data. But, you know, it's just swept under the rug. We're all going to be alike, and it's just going to be wonderful, and there'll be no more racism. It's just the opposite.
Yeah.
We're going to be victimized.
I think, well, I'm very hopeful that we are seeing, sort of before our eyes, the discrediting of the mass media and the discrediting of the mainstream political establishment. I think Donald Trump is kind of proving that. I mean, you know, most people I talk to, and I'm in Southern California, most people I talk to, you know, support what Donald Trump is saying. What he's saying about immigration and our free trade deals and how they've been entirely destructive to the American economy and to the American worker. I think, people hear that and they say, wow, this guy's right. And Donald Trump is also out there saying that these mainstream politicians are bought and paid for. And, you know, they're controlled by the people who finance their campaigns. Which is absolutely true. And, you know, people are hearing that. It's resonating very deeply with them. Not just Republicans, independents, Democrats, you name it. So, I think that, we have a very real potential to sort of start influencing the political discourse on a much higher level. I think we're already making tons of progress. You know, over the years, we've really made a lot of progress. But now we really have an opportunity, I think, thanks largely to Donald Trump, to reach more and more people with this information. And I am firmly convinced that only the truth will set us free and straighten everything out that is wrong in this world. And we have to tell the truth, and that includes the truth about, controversial events relating to World War II. That includes, the truth about 9/11. That includes the truth about Jewish power and influence in the West and the very destructive and subversive nature and destructive role they have played all throughout history, wherever they go. And we need to be honest about these things, and I think we are, and I think more and more people are listening and hearing what we have to say and recognizing that what we're saying is very well documented, it's very well backed up by scholars, by intellectuals, by, you know, just regular activists who have looked into this stuff and have really done a lot of research. So, you know, I think we are gaining more and more credibility, and, you know, I'm very hopeful for the future, to be honest with you guys.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm hopeful, too. I think this is ultimately the end of it is good, but just what you brought up, Kevin, that the pace that this moves with right now is so extraordinary, and therefore there's a sense of, you know, we feel rushed. We have to do something at the same time. You don't want to play your cards too early, et cetera. It's all about timing, I feel, because it's almost like we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because we have our governments against us right now, and then we have incoming people that are against us as well, and they all are going to, you know, turn on us together at the end, it seems like. So we have to obviously organize. We have to do something to try to set up an opposition to this. I know, Tim, that you're talking about trying to stay on that message and try to basically make people see, but is that what it's about reaching a tipping point in people's awareness that that meta-political discussion needs to take place, and that ultimately is going to spawn both political organizations and people who are going to begin to organize? Or what's your thoughts on that, Tim?
What you're dealing with is a classic closed system, closed society, and we know from the collapse of Soviet Union and from the models we use right now that we've been successful with using, that once the awareness in the Soviet Union that you're dealing with a worker's paradise that murdered people for trying to leave. Obviously, that's kind of a problem there.
Yeah.
In this situation, we're dealing with diversity, multiculturalism, refugees, immigration, for white countries, only white countries, and all white countries. So we're dealing with a classic closed system. And once awareness that this universal is not a universal, then resistance comes in various different forms. And the beast does not die from some giant bomb or getting its head knocked off, although I guess it could be in theory, but it dies from a thousand little pokes. Then one day the Berlin Wall just starts tumbling. Now, Yugoslavia happens. It can happen, but it happens after that. Not before. But what gets the ball rolling are these nasty little these little memes that start radiating, simple little things over and over again that people can digest. Asia for the Asian, Africa for Africans, white countries for everybody. Diversity is a code word for white genocide. And they have to be very aggressive, very overt, and they have to just radiate. You've got to have a way to just get them out over and over again. It's a repetition. It's you know, it's a strategy that's never once been beat. It's called the broken record strategy. It's how the society is controlled. It's controlled by those that control the message. When the neocons say Ahmadinejad is going to wipe Israel off the map, they don't say it once. You have a half dozen at the top of media outlets around the West. They say it over and over and over again. And Charles Krauthammer, when you go back and look at his writings to see that particular meme into society, every chance he gets, he's going to say Ahmadinejad is going to wipe Israel off the map. You know, that's how everything's reduced down to the eighth grade meme, and then you hit the broken record strategy. Even a lie repeated enough can't be defeated. But if you repeat the truth in little memes, it's what gets the ball rolling. The enemy is, in my opinion, from the conversations, the unfortunate conversations I've had, and only a couple, are concerned with white genocide because they believe, one, the average white person is going to believe it for good reason. For good reason.
Yeah.
And two, it could be a catalyst event. And they're always worried about a catalyst event that's going to mushroom cloud anti-Semitism, you know, and because in their history, that's typically what happens, I guess, if you go back and read things. But
and that's just out of the blue. There's no reason for that, by the way.
No. They just happen to move to Palestine, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's massive amounts of anti-Semitism radiating through Islamic world.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always a catalyst event, but they're worried about that being a catalyst event, and that could be. But there's more and more awareness because of the conditions on the ground. Now, how bad things have to get, I don't know. I think the enemy, in my opinion, is worried enough to do something crazy. And as they start doing crazier and crazier things, they're so disconnected from reality, and there's such a group of paranoid schizophrenics that they may very well go over the top one day and it just not come back. You know, the Berlin Wall comes tumbling down. Now, I'm not certain of what events are going to precede that, but you know, they may try, right now they're trying for another crazy war. I don't know where they're going to go with it, but, you know, that's what I'm looking at right now.
Let me play another clip here. It's from Peter Sutherland, is one of these globalists. He's been on the board of Goldman Sachs. He's also the United Nations Special Representative of the Secretary General for International Migration. It's about a minute and a half long or something. But let's just listen to what he says, and he's well in with these elites guys that we're talking about here. Let's just listen to what he has to say here.
For the Swedish government, that I'm very pleased to welcome the United Nations Secretary General's Special Representative, Mr. Peter Sutherland, to Sweden. Mr. Sutherland plays a very important role in the global arena on the issues of migration. And as we all know, that migration is and will be for a very long time on top of the global agenda.
Ah, okay.
The demographics are a key element in this debate and a key argument for, and I hesitate to use the word because people have attacked it, for the development of multicultural states, because states have to become more open states in terms of the people who inhabit it.
The founding fathers, as we call them, of the European Union. The fundamental point that drove them in the first instance was an attack on what they jointly considered to be the evil of national sovereignty.
And nationalism is based on the principle that one person is better than another.
No, it's not.
I profoundly believe in the European Union as a concept. The United States or Australia and New Zealand are migrant societies, and therefore they accommodate more readily those from other backgrounds than we do ourselves, who still nurse a sense of our homogeneity and difference from others, which is precisely what the European Union, in my view, should be doing its best to undermine. It's a noble idea to share sovereignty. This is not merely a noble project, but an absolutely vital project.
Unbelievable.
Europe continuing to relive the worst moments in its past. There seems to be a lack of recognition of the enormous difficulty of doing what we're doing.
I mean, the more they push, though, the quicker. This is really kind of the theme here, what we're talking about. The quicker they push, the more they do this, the faster. I mean, God knows why they're pushing it so fast. But,
Hedrick,
you know, something obviously is going to give here. People are going to turn against them. Go ahead, John. You want to comment on this?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to say, I think listening to that clip and, you know, listening to clips, you know, of Barbara Leonard Spector, reading articles in the Jewish press about how, you know, American Europe, you know, they need to open up their borders and, you know, accept all these refugees and, you know, totally destroy their countries. And, you know, any form of white racial consciousness is evil and racist and, you know, you're a Nazi. This is exactly why we need to totally exclude Jews from our societies, period. These people have been so destructive to everything that we stand for, all of our traditions. We simply do not have, you know, we don't have time to sit around and listen to these people anymore. They have been dictating to us and controlling the very perception of reality. They've been controlling the way we view the world for so long. I mean, really since World War II. But I mean, even before that, I think they had a major influence. And look, you know, what I'm saying is not popular. I understand that. I don't like saying these things. It's kind of mean. But hey, somebody's got to say them, and these people have to be recognized for what they are. And I guess I don't necessarily mean every single individual Jewish person, but as a collective, how they operate in our societies, their role has to be recognized and understood. They are the destroyers of our civilization. They have to be recognized as such, and they must be excluded permanently from our societies if we want to survive as a people.
Well, there's historical precedence for this. You know, God knows we don't have to go into all the expulsions and all that and just figure out that, you know, after, what, like 800 times, or was it like 1,100 times over an 800-year period, you know, something is amiss here. But this aspect is that historically we've seen the kind of the opening of the floodgates. My story my memory goes back to Toledo and Malaga and some of these Spanish kingdoms that the Visigoths set up, and the Jewish community within that community had a fairly, you know, good standing or whatever. But when they wanted to convert over to Catholicism, or they forced everyone to do it, rather, and they said, you know, Jews, you have to convert as well, you have to be Catholics. And then we had the whole deal of them converting conversos, of being outwardly Catholic, but of course, you know, worshipping the Talmud when they get back into their house. But to make a long story short, I think it took the Spanish people about they opened the, this is my point, they opened the floodgates to the Muslim hordes into some of these Spanish city-states, and it took the Spanish people about 700 years, something like that, to get their country back, and that's why in 1492, you know, they set up this decree of throwing everybody out, basically, and saying that that's it, we've had enough. And recently, interestingly enough, recently the Spanish people, or the Spanish government, I mean, they officially apologized for this, and they said, oh my God, what a mistake we did, and we beg for your forgiveness. Everyone who wants to have a citizen in Spain can be so. So they opened their arms to the Jewish community, and they granted automatic citizenship to 1.something million Jews or something like that as forgiveness, without looking anything at all in the history of what happened there, that they had to fight for 800 years to get their country back. So this very aspect of you know, one tribe, if you will, using another people to let them into our societies, into Europe, to destroy them, that's something we've seen in the past. And frankly, something similar could happen here if we don't stop it in time. Kevin, do you have any comments on that?
Well, yes, I do think that that's a good analogy. I mean, when these things happen, they happen, they cause huge social upheaval, cataclysmic upheaval. I mean, the entire 15th century in Spain was filled with riots and protests against Jews. The anti-Semitism became very important because Jews were dominating the society. And in 1492, you know, you started the Inquisition. 1482, the point is that these people are a huge problem. If you listen to Sutherland, that his entire frame of reference is World War II, and,
yes,
and obviously he's talking about National Socialism, and all. I mean, that's their whole frame. It's a Jewish point of view, basically, that this was the worst of all evils. That nationalism, all nationalism are therefore bad. That all nationalism implies its superiority of one person over another, and so on. It's just this is the ideology that has come out of World War II, but it's because, I mean, this is why I keep writing, and the whole idea behind culture critique. All of these movements were aimed at sort of deconstructing the ethnicity of Western peoples, of pathologizing any kind of group sense of loyalty among white people, which was pretty strong in the early 20th century. And it's been very successful. And so we have to overthrow these elites. It's happened before. But what they do in this case is unique, because they've brought in all these immigrants. I mean, they've created facts on the ground that make it very difficult. Imagine if we in America started to simply deport 60 million people. Well, you know, it's just like, I think we've had 65 million immigrants since 1965. Well, those immigrants are not, in a sense, legitimate. They were never voted on. It's same in Europe, but you're talking about, you know, tens of millions of people at this point.
Yeah.
And so how do you change that?
Right.
But that's what they're relying on. They've made facts on the ground that make it very, very difficult to turn back the clock. And so only a total cataclysm really now can really bring it back.
So that's what people need to understand, that this has been done as a strategy to prevent any of this from happening in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to understand that it hasn't, you know, when they talk about nationalism, you're not talking to the Japanese or the Chinese,
yeah,
or the Hindus in India.
Of course not. They want that. Africa did nationalism just fine. Korea is fine.
Yeah.
It's only
whites. And that's the important point most whites need to hit over and over again. It doesn't happen once. It's just over and over again. Once they see it, then it becomes a lot of anger.
Yeah. Well, I think those mantras that you were talking about earlier are very important. As you're saying, what the media does is repeat.
Yeah.
And that's the power. And that's why I keep writing the Axel Observer. I can't say we're writing something new every day, but we're repeating the same points in different contexts, and that's just necessary. That's what the media does.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what? The Jews have made it very difficult for us to address these, you know, the situation that's presented to us in the Western world, in America and in Europe, with all these, you know, millions of non-white people who have been illegitimately brought over here and made citizens in many cases. And you know, we've seen how various Jewish organizations have worked with, you know, resettling these people, encouraging their migration to the West, financially benefiting from it. I mean, some of these, you know, these Jewish charity organizations, they get millions of dollars a year to engage in this work and to literally destroy our countries. And they're getting this money from our government, which is outrageous. Yeah. But the thing is, we could easily address all of the problems facing our country. We have a very capable military. We have very capable individuals in positions of power in our law enforcement agencies, in our military, like I said, in our state and local governments, in our county governments. We could really do this. We could do this in a year. Donald Trump is out there saying that all illegals will be gone in 2 years once he's president. And he's right. We could easily do this if we had the political will, you know, to do so. And I think that our day is coming a lot sooner than most of us think. I'm very confident that, you know, what's going on is simply untenable. Our message is reaching millions of people, and it's increasing on a daily basis. And you know, the elites and the political and media establishment are being discredited on a daily basis because it's very clear that they are lying to us, and they are manipulating us, and they are engaging in, you know, psychological and you know, information warfare against the public. And this is very obvious, and people are starting to recognize this. And, you know, it will be difficult to, you know, to correct everything that's wrong in our countries and in America and in Europe, but we can easily do it. Okay, that's my point, is we could easily do this if we had the right people in charge, you know, to get it done. And we do have the right people that, you know, can get all of this done.
Well, it can be done peacefully. I mean, millions of people have come in very, very quickly, and they can leave very quickly as well, and they can go back to their own home countries. They can become rooted in their own culture, have their own language, and they don't have to sit around and bicker about how many you know, Swedish people or French people or English people there are on the TV stations, for example, or the fact that we are running our own companies and we are the CEOs of. I mean, it's so absurd. But Tim, the point that you mentioned before there is really the key one, that the fact that, you know, this is only happening in European countries. It's so, when I look at the footage that I'm seeing of what's happening right now, when I'm looking at what, you know, how this actually is playing out on the street level, and the fact that once you begin to criticize this, that somehow you are the bad guy and you are the ones being targeted. I mean, it's so foreign. It feels like I'm truly like in the Twilight Zone or something, and it's impossible to explain to people because they are so brainwashed.
Well, you have to understand, right? You have to understand something, that. If psychological warfare is present, what we know, and psychological warfare obviously is some type of phenomenon backed by propaganda, meaning someone's at war with you. It's a psychological operations. And when I say phenomenon, typically it always results in us disappearing from that area some way, shape, matter, or form. It might be through rape. It might be through murder. It might be some asymmetrical attack. It might be through white flight. But this is what we're facing. Some type of warfare, and this warfare is psychological right now, with a lot of asymmetrical attacks, phenomenon, and propaganda. What we know is that you can't educate in the face of that. What you can do is what the enemy did to put it in place, because the enemy didn't educate to put it in place. What they did was they used buzzwords, only a handful, over and over again. You're speaking from the racist perspective. You're speaking from the racist point of view, over and over again, to keep up the critique, to start breaking things down. And what we're doing is basically the polar opposite. We're creating the dynamic, instead of the social space being divided between anti-racist and racist, and an anti-racist is someone that accepts their own genocide, the conservative, the social justice warrior, and the racist would be anyone white and normal, basically, that doesn't accept it.
Yeah.
What we're doing is changing the social space, attempting to change the social space from that to pro-white versus anti-white. And the way we do that is the same way it was done. You got to go back in, and you do from the anti-white perspective. In other words, instead of trying to educate someone that is obviously brainwashed, you start breaking it down. And this is really what works in this situation, Henrik. You say, well, you're speaking from the anti-white point of view, or that's the anti-white perspective. Or, yeah, this is typical of the anti-white narrative. And then you just keep it simple, little things, over and over again, constant repetition. And it's tedious. It's not for everybody. But that's how it was put into place. It wasn't put into place by some giant gun. It was put in place by a handful of buzzwords and a gazillions of dollars worth of programming and repetition over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't break through doing anything major to that person to shake them up in 9 out of 10 cases. You know, you can't educate over top of that. Now, on the other hand, there's a lot of people in this society that are realizing that there is some type of con going on. That's a totally different bill of goods. But when you're in these conversations, you used to see it in America with, let's say, racial crime stats. And your brother-in-law looks at you or your sister-in-law, they look at you like a deer in the headlights. Well, you're wasting your time there. They can't see it. And this is something most pro-whites go through. They go through the individual that just can't see it. Well, then you meme down. You just hit them the same way they were brought into a trance. You just try to bring them out of it. It takes time.
It's even worse if you talk about Jewish issues. How many times do you see people's eyes just glaze over? It's like they, yep. they are, it's like they can't process it. It's like they are absolutely deaf. It's because of this long conditioning, the racism, anti-Semitism. It's the power of the media and the educational system. It's just nonstop, 24/7.
Well, because people disown their own family members. They turn on their own sons and daughters.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is like it's a mind-controlled cult. I mean, this is what, I mean, aren't the movies made about this, about people are just like disowning their family or defooing or whatever? There's like, that's what's happening here. They're just like disconnecting utterly from their families, disowning them. It's almost like because it's a purity thing. It's like we want to be pure. And if I even like talk to you, if you have these opinions, I will become dirty and I might be implicated in these kinds of, you know, things as well.
Look how many people in the Soviet Union turned in their friends or neighbors, or even under National Socialist Germany, a lot of Jews. The George Soros is, you know, turned in other Jews and stuff like that. This type of thing happens where people want to be cool, they want to be in, or they're just brainwashed. But once you unleash this in a society, it's going to go full circle. One of the downsides is, even if an elite tries to change gears now, you're still stuck with those brainwashed people. That's one of the challenges here. And what will happen in this type of thing, as you have a radiating opposing message in the Soviet Union, memeing them over and over again that you're in a workers' paradise that murders people for trying to leave, which is a fundamental truth, the opposite effect happens. And what happens is that the vibration actually, in other words, the memes themselves explode even further and further because you have a section that is so brainwashed you can't do anything with them. And that's what's going to happen to us. They're going to yell racist. You talked about the social justice warrior earlier, Henrik, that even if everything's falling apart, they're still going to utopian, with this utopian mindset, think it's going to work.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to actually bring down the society much faster now if it's facing opposing means, because all they do is increase the frequency. In other words, the vibration just expands, starts expanding more and more. More people become aware because every time they hear, you know, diversity is a code word for white genocide, they yell white supremacists, so on and so forth, etc. It's only a handful of buzzwords. It's just a matter of repetition. And the way the enemy is moving, they may do something crazy. And you know, they've done crazy stuff in the past to unseat themselves. We just got to be looking for opportunities and to stick to the basics that work.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing, too, I think we have to our advantage is not only the truth and the reality of what people are experiencing on the street level. They can what they read in the paper and see on the TV doesn't match the reality that they're experiencing. That's very powerful, very strong. But on top of that, none of these people are edgy. They're not counterculture. They're limp-wristed, lame-stream losers. They're just repeating the message of the establishment, and that's something we need to push on as well. That the alternative.
Well, they're not cool.
Exactly,
they're not
cool.
Exactly. It's one of the sort of ironic things about these Antifa, you know. They think that they're these young guys, they're rebellious, they're against the system, they're against the man.
Yeah.
They are the system. I mean, that is just ridiculous how they can conceptualize themselves that way.
Yeah, I know.
We're the ones who are, you know, really the revolutionaries here. We're the
rebels. Yeah, the true
rebels.
Absolutely.
Yeah, revolutionaries aren't backed by Walmart.
That's right.
Revolutionaries lose their jobs when they speak out. That's revolutionary.
Antifa.
Well, like you, John, do you want to tell us just a little bit about that? What happened to you and what you've gone through? Because it's very pertinent to what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And this has happened to me in the past, and I'm sure it's happened to tons of other people. In fact, I just signed back up on Facebook, and I've heard from multiple people on Facebook that very similar things have happened to them as well. And I have a pretty popular website, and I've been on multiple radio shows and kind of have a presence on the internet. So, it happened to me, and it's been, all over the news. There's an article published in the San Diego Union Tribune, which has received a ton of attention. And if you look at all the comments on the original, news item, announcing that I was basically forced out of my job, I was working for a local city government here in San Diego County. And, if you look at all the comments, pretty much everybody is supporting me. It's really incredible. I mean, there's a couple commenters on there who, you know, it's very clear that they are Jewish, and, you know, that they're basically admitting that, you know, in the comments, and, you know, just look at their last name, and it's very clear. But, yeah, it's been a very interesting situation. It's gotten some attention. It's been picked up by, you know, some of the major Jewish outlets, like the Jewish Daily Forward and the Times of Israel and the Jewish Telegraph Agency. I'm hoping that, you know, an outlet like the Daily Mail or the New York Times or one of these big, you know, mainstream news outlets will pick it up and, you know, maybe interview me and, you know, get my take on things. I think that would be huge. I think we need to try to use this to advance our cause and advance our message in as big a way possible. And I think thus far we've been pretty successful in doing that. I was friends with so many people at the city. I knew so many people there. I knew some of the most high-level people in the city. Well, I knew all of the high-level people in the city. They've all been exposed to my views, and I'm hoping that I will be able to reach some of these people because, frankly, almost all of them were very, you know, professional, respectable white people. And these are the type of people we need involved in our struggle here because what's going on is absolutely unacceptable. And, you know, we need people to start standing up and taking a stand and growing a pair. I mean, this is outrageous what's happening. And, you know, I've certainly dedicated my life to this struggle, as have you guys and many others. And, you know, I'm very confident that we're going to make some bold moves here in the weeks and months ahead.
Yep, very good. Well, gentlemen, I mean, we could go on for probably a couple of hours more here, but we're going to round up shortly. I wanted to just basically know some of your closing thoughts, if there's any additions you want to make to what we've been talking about so far. And I also want you to mention the websites that you're behind and plug away if there's anything upcoming you guys have or mention the what you have available for our audience, basically. Kevin, why don't we begin with you?
John Friend's problem is symptomatic of our powerlessness. I mean, the fact that he could be fired basically for simply having beliefs and ideas is horrifying. But this is the power of the left right now. The Southern Poverty Law Center is the main organization that is behind this United States. They tried to get me fired. They've gotten a lot of people fired. I would hope people would come to my website. We have a lot of stuff on the refugee crisis right now. The Occidental Observer is the main one. I also edit the Occidental Quarterly, which has longer articles, more scholarly articles, and so on. But as we were saying in this discussion, you know, it's very important to have our media be there and to be well thought, you know, to be thoughtful, well sourced, empirically based, reasonable. This is the kind of thing, because we're trying to get, you know, people who are, you know, intelligent and well-educated on our side. That's been a big part of our problem, that these hostile elites have really infected the minds of the intelligent white people to such an extent. We have to go after them. So anyway, in closing, I hope people would go to our website and tell other people about it.
Yeah, definitely. Do check it out, folks. Very good stuff. And check out some of Kevin's books as well. We're going to have some of the links to those up on our website. Tim, let's switch over to you. Any final thoughts, something you'd like to leave us with? And as I said, do give us your website as well.
The website is whiterabbitradio.net. And if you go there, you can watch the in-game on white genocide. It's a very informative 20-minute piece video. It's for your friends, it's for your neighbors, it's straight from the horse's mouth. It isn't a lot of speculation, it's just straight from the elites, what they're saying. And you also see about 30-plus minutes of various different animations from Anti-Racist Hitler, which we're famous for, and How Whites Took Over America 1-2, our new series, Johnny Racist. But you get about 30 minutes worth of animation in various different formats for various different audiences. And we have some free podcasts there called Boris the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, which kind of like is the linchpin behind a lot of these memes you're hearing. Diversity is a code word for white genocide. What I would leave the audience with is just, you know, if they're going for a class of civilizations, they're going very, very quickly. And they're putting these immigrants in there, these men in Europe, in the middle of Europe for, and as well as America for, not for no reason, but part of some type of plan. That doesn't mean they're going to be successful, but they might be able to raise a lot of hell between here and there. And they're going very quickly. Across all their propaganda channels. It isn't just one channel, but whether it be science fiction or anything else. But typically, when you look into science fiction, it tells you, you know, what, in a healthy society, science fiction should tell you where you want things to be. You know, media is designed to tell you what is happening now from a legitimate fashion, what has been happening. The History Channel should tell you something from a legitimate fashion, and science fiction should tell you where you want things to be from some type of legitimate, overt, healthy, healthy way, use of healthy memes and whatnot. Our enemy does things the direct opposite. But one thing is very clear in their science fiction is that everything starts with catalysts. In other words, to bring about these utopian worlds, and you guys did something, Henrik, on Red Ice with The Falling Skies, which is something very important because Steven Spielberg wrote it. Steven Spielberg has introduced some of the most successful memes in the history of Western civilization.
Yeah.
Regarding aliens. Not going to go into that right this minute. I've went into that stuff before with you guys. But what I want to say about that is that everything starts with a catalyst, and it need not be an exotic catalyst, whether it be an alien invasion or a comet hitting the Earth. Some of their other catalysts that result in a massive change end up being just large wars, okay, a clash of civilizations, let's say, and that ushers in this utopian-type humanity that's Orwellian nightmare for anyone white, or we would call it just simply white genocide. If they're going for that, what I would look for is a hardening of positions, which they've already done, but I would look for the Iranian response in Syria. So if you hear the Russians talk about, and I'm not talking about Iranian advisors, which are already there, but massive amounts of boots on the ground in Syria, I would expect to see a massive flashpoint. That's what they're going for. You're going to see the Saudis come in. They're right there with the Israelis and the Turks, and that might be what they're going for, something very large. If, on the other hand, and everything would start, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, it's just speculation that you're asking me to do, so I'm going to do it, because they're moving so fast. If they're going for something even more crazy, something apocalyptic, and this group is messianic, this group is insane, they might very well be planning to use technology to do something really extraordinary. I would expect to still see the same thing. Iranian boots on the ground in a major way. You're going to also hear more about from the Russians. They're going to be bringing up their new air defense, which is actually called a space defense now, covering more and more countries. And then we're gearing up for some type of WW3-type flashpoint that they're going to try. And they may even you might get John Friend on your website. What I'll be looking for is if you trace an abnormal amount of messianic messages coming from the Israelis, these crazy rabbis. And now, rabbis in Israel always give out messianic messages. That's what they're there for. But I mean something really over the top. And then it would encompass some type of technological event, maybe a special revelation. And that's about the best speculation I could give you. So it all starts to me with whether or not Iran's going to really come into Syria in a big way. But until then, we're into this kind of they're going to keep loading us down and loading us down until the whole thing breaks down.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I wouldn't put it past them, for sure.
Yeah, I think they're gearing up for something very large. That's why I would go into what I'm looking for. But I would the ball's in their court, basically, is what I'm saying. And they have enough media control to try something extraordinary. Now, whether or not it works or they fall flat on their face, I don't know. but they should be able to raise hell for at least a week or two.
All right. John, the floor is yours. We'll please give us your website as well and any closing thoughts that you have before we round things up here for this time.
Sure thing. Thank you very much. So my website, my personal website, is therealistreport.com. And I also write for American Free Press, which really is America's last real newspaper. It's a national biweekly publication. It still is printed and, you know, shipped out to all subscribers. We also have, you know, a way that you can subscribe just strictly to the PDF version. You know, the details are on the website, AmericanFreePress.net. And I also contribute to a bi-monthly historical review magazine called The Barnes Review, which is an excellent source of information. You know, we really cover a lot of issues relating to World War II, particularly from a revisionist perspective. We cover, you know, American history and really just the history of Western civilization. It's a great source of information. It really is probably the last, you know, scholarly revisionist publication in circulation in the entire world today. I mean, it's a great source of information. It's a very, you know, worthy magazine of subscribing to and supporting. So I'd encourage people to do that if they're not already. And also, I have set up an Indiegogo, you know, fundraiser campaign to kind of help get me through these next couple months since I've lost my job. You can find information over there on my website, right on the upper right-hand side of the page. And I also, of course, have a P.O. box that you can find over on my website as well. So I would encourage people to, you know, to support pro-white, independent, you know, alternative media, people like me, you know, Horace, Dr. McDonald, you, Henrik, Kyle Hunt is doing great work. You know, there's many others. The guys over at the rightstuff.biz are doing excellent work. I really think that all of the energy and all of the, you know, basically we're dominating the conversation now. And, you know, we need support. We need people to step up and you know, help keep us going here and take this to the next level. And I think that will happen in the coming weeks and months. And, you know, just in summary, I think we need to be very honest and we need to be truthful about what is going on in the world. We need to recognize some very fundamental facts, including the fact that the Jews are waging a war against our entire civilization, and they openly say these things. And it's not racist or anti-Semitic to say that and point that out and to be frankly upset about it. You know, it's righteous, and you know, we have a very righteous cause, and I think that's clear for anybody who sits down and investigates these facts. And, you know, I think we have a bright future ahead of us if we're honest and if we start telling the truth about some of these important topics. So, you know, thank you very much for having me on today. It's been a very good conversation, and I tip my hat to the other fine panelists here today.
Well, thank you so much. Absolutely right. Support here is the key. Thank you for that, John. We'll have all of you guys' websites up on ours, therealistreport.com, americanfreepress.net, as you mentioned, and, of course, also Kevin's, theoccidentalobserver.net, and Tim's, whiterabbitradio.net. Thanks to all of you guys for spending some time with us here today, gentlemen. We appreciate your time. Keep up the good work, and hopefully we can do it again in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the conversation here today, learned something new, or simply got some grist on the mill. Thank you for listening today, ladies and gentlemen. Please sign up for a membership with us to hear all our programs. We have shows going back to 2006, over 1,000 programs on many different topics. Most shows we do is 2 hours, but not always, and sometimes we do the full show for free as well. But we have a lot for you in the members section, so please go in and take a look in our archives. And of course, if you want to aid in our expansion and our coverage, do sign up for a membership with us. We have more coming with Andrew Arnheimer, or Weave, also Tom Staffel and David Duke coming up. In the meantime, we say thank you for joining us today. Please stay classy, and we'll talk to you in just a few days. Take care.